राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला बागिरिवन दारी जय गोपी जन बाला बागिरिवन दारी जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बाला बागिरिवन दारी जय जय गोपी जन बाला बागिरिवन दारी जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabhajakacharya Asutarasvata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru Angoranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we continue with Srimad Bhagavatam, The Gopi Search for Krishna, 10th Canto, Chapter 30. I think we're doing text 34. Is that right? 34.
Vimetaya chatmarata Atmaramo yakanditaha Kaminam darsayandanyam Strinam chaiva duratmatam Rametaya chatmarata Atmaramopya kanditaha Kaminam darsayam danyam Strinam chaiva duratmatam Rimetaya chatmarata Atmaramopya kanditaha Kaminam darsayan danyam Strinam chaiva duratmatam Vimetaya chatmarata Atmaramopya kanditaha Kaminam darsayan danyam Srinam chaiva duratmatam Vichadvatta Atmaramo pakandityaha Kaminam darsayam danyam Vimetaya chatmavata Atmaramopya kanditaha Kaminam darsayandanyam Srinam chaiva duratmatam Vimetaya chatmarata
Ladies,
Vimetaya chatmarata Atmaramopya kanditaha Danyam Srinam chaiva duratmatam Vimetaya chatmarata Kaminam darsayan danyam Paturatmatam Vimetaya chatmarata Kamanam dasayam danyam Srinam chaiva duratmatam Katvata Atmaramopya kanditaha Kaminam dasayam danyam Srinam chaiva duratmatam Reme, he enjoyed. Taya, with her. Cha, and. Atmarataha, he who takes pleasure only within himself. Atma aramaha, completely self-satisfied. Api, although. akanditaha,
never incomplete,
kaminam,
of ordinary lusty men,
darsayan,
showing,
danyam,
the degraded condition,
strinam,
of ordinary women,
cha,
cha eva,
also,
duratmatam,
the hard-heartedness.
Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. This verse directly refutes the superficial criticism materialistic people sometimes direct against Lord Krishna's pastimes. The philosopher Aristotle claimed that ordinary activities are unworthy of God. And with this in mind, with this idea in mind, some people declare that since the activities of Lord Krishna resemble those of ordinary human beings, he cannot be the absolute truth. But in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami emphatically points out that Lord Krishna acts on the liberated platform of spiritual self-satisfaction. This fact is indicated here by the terms Atmarata, Atmarama, and Akandita. It is inconceivable to ordinary people that a handsome young boy and beautiful young girl enjoying romantic conjugal affairs in the forest moonlight can be engaging in pure activity. Free from egoistic desire and lust. Yet, while Lord Krishna is inconceivable to ordinary persons, those who love him can easily realize the absolute pure nature of his activities. One may argue that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and that therefore the devotees of Krishna are only imagining the Lord's activities to be pure. This argument ignores many significant facts. For one, the path of Krishna consciousness of developing love for Krishna demands that a devotee strictly follow four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, fish or eggs. When one is freed from material lust and rises to the liberated platform beyond material desires, one realizes the absolute beauty of Lord Krishna. This process is not theoretical. It has been practiced and completed by many thousands of great sages who have left us their shining example and their brilliant teachings concerning the path of Krishna consciousness. Certainly, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. However, real beauty is perceived by the soul's eye and not by the lusty eye of the material body. Therefore, the Vedic literature repeatedly stresses that only those freed from material desire can see the beauty of Lord Krishna with the eye of the pure soul, anointed with the love of Godhead. It may finally be noted that upon realizing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one becomes free from all tinges of sex desire, a state of mind that can hardly result from meditating upon material sexual affairs. One final note. The conjugal pastimes of Krishna perfectly round out his qualification as the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Vedanta states that the Absolute Truth is the source of everything, so certainly the Absolute cannot lack any of the beautiful things of this world. It is only because romantic affairs exist in a pure spiritual form in the Absolute that they can manifest in a perverted material form in this world. Thus, the apparent beauty of this world is not to be absolutely rejected. Rather, beauty should be accepted in its pure spiritual form. Since the beginning of time, men and women have been inspired to poetic rapture by the art of romance. Unfortunately, romance in this world usually leads to crushing disappointment, brought about by a change of heart or by death. Thus, although we may at first find romantic affairs beautiful and enjoyable, they are eventually spoiled by the onslaught of material nature. Still, it is unreasonable to totally reject the concept of romance. Rather, we should accept conjugal attraction in its absolute, perfect, pure form as it exists within God, without a tinge of material lust or selfishness. That pure conjugal attraction, the supreme beauty and pleasure of the supreme truth, is what we are reading about here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. I can repeat the translation. Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi. Although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Hare Krishna. Uma gina tumirandasya ginanjana salakaya chakshula militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale svayarupa kadamayam dadati sva patandikam panchakopa tirubhischa kripasindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastri Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So yesterday, Dharmatma asked me to give class today. Told me it was a long purport. He didn't tell me. It's a very good purport. Oh, we can see. I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning, he just gave us the highest knowledge. He realized this higher knowledge. And us in my most fallen condition, he just said, here is Krishna. Here is the love of Krishna. I've seen in just within this lifetime, how things have changed so dramatically. Of course, we know Prabhupada born in 1896 in Calcutta, in India, where he would tell us, even in the 70s, that 90% of the people are Krishna conscious. Yeah. He said they're 90%. He said they're that close. He says you just have to turn them, huh? As I said, now we can see in this world, there was a big program in America the other day, a football game, almost 1 billion people watching it. And there was a halftime show. It was the most disgusting show you could see that was there. Everyone from birth up to old age watching. What's being described, the grotesqueness here, the perversion within the material world. I was thinking even now, these pastimes, they're not even so, even from the materialistic point of view, this is nothing what goes on here nowadays within this material world. Relationships almost non-existent. It's based on literally satisfying the senses, When I was in Los Angeles, New Dwarka seemed to be a place for me where Prabhupada would just say things so many times. Don't know why, but it was a very special place. And the one day he's looking out. He would look out the world through his window in his sitting room, huh? Vrindavan, the spiritual world. Everything about that room was transcendental. Yeah. The color of the walls, everything. It just seemed like you were always in Vaikuntha in Prabhupada's quarters. There it had pure white floors, everything spotless all the time, as we hear descriptions in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada just saw two teenagers talking. They were just talking. And Prabhupada looked at me. I was brahmachari. He said, just see. He said, boy and girl talking. He says in the voice, Prabhupada was so unique. He would say to the boy, saying, come on, let's go. Let's go together. He said, when we were young, he said, we also had desires. He said, desires are there in everyone. He said, but you could never even speak to a girl. Couldn't even approach her. Culture was so strong. Huh? I did a little video yesterday in Krishna Hall, Prashadam Hall. Even the sinks had men's side, Mataji side. This is Vedic culture. This is what Prabhupada was trying. Imagine his determination. Imagine his difficulty trying to figure out how to spread Krishna consciousness in a culture where boys and girls are just always together. This is what he saw. He said you couldn't even ask the question. He said, my mother... So this is 125 years ago or so. He said, my mother, she had a friend, girlfriend across the street from their house. And she would visit her. But she didn't even walk across the street. He said that a carriage would come and pick her up. And the carriage would bring her across the street. So many things from the very start. In the first days I sat with Prabhupada in his garden. I wasn't his servant. We were all his servant. I was doing service, but I wasn't his personal servant. But I saw when the family came in, Brahmachari's parents came in, and she questioned Prabhupada. My son has no ambition. He was such a good boy, going to college, studying, be doctor, lawyer, whatever. Now he has no ambition. And we're all sitting there. Just three, four of us there, and this parents, this nice boy's parents, Brahmachari's parents. And you're thinking, Prabhupada knows everything. That's the first thing we learned, huh, when we come into the... Prabhupada knows everything. Whatever he says, that's good. What will he say? And Prabhupada looked at her. He said, yes, devotee has no ambition. So she was kind of shocked. He said, we just want to serve Krishna. This is how to achieve this. Just want to serve Krishna. No desire to satisfy ourselves. Just want to serve Krishna. So often Prabhupada would quote, give us this day our daily bread. No, that's not. We don't even care. You don't give me bread. It's okay. You leave me starving in my room. That's unconditional love. Huh? Not business. Prabhupada says everything business contract. Sure, love is there as long as you do this. As long as you do like that. As long as you don't do this. That's not Lord Chaitanya. Huh? No profit, adoration, distinction. Not lots of followers. Devotee wants none of these things. He has complete faith in Krishna. Anyway, even Prabhupada's, one of his first disciples, Kirtanananda, what Prabhupada means to say is he has no material ambition. Prabhupada, no! He said the devotee has no ambition. He just wants to serve Krishna. Very simple. very difficult, these material bodies and these senses, to accept that our only relationship is our relationship with Krishna. That's the relationship that matters. Whatever you want, you're only going to find that with Krishna. Your happiness, you're only going to find that with Krishna. It was just a few months later, I was his servant in New Dwarka.
Los Angeles, right?
New Dwarka is Los Angeles, yes. Los Angeles, California. New Dwarka. That was the world headquarters in the 70s, 70s to 73. That was the world headquarters. And of course, Prabhupada tells us that it was Rukmini Dwarkadish, naturally in Los Angeles. It was Dwarkadish told him to come to India and open up a temple. Prabhupada said his mission was in the West. And he said those deities told him, you go to India, open up a center there, make a temple there. So that was also Rukmini Dwarkadish. Right now we're also looking into Rukmini Dwarkadish's deity closets. They spent a few crores or rupees just making their closets for their paraphernalia. So you can see why this was world headquarters. So I was a servant, and one devotee, God brother, came up to me and said, we want to go see Prabhupada, me and my sister. They were from New York, but now they were both living in Los Angeles. They worked with the BBT at that time. And this devotee boy, they were in their 20s, most of us were. His sister was married, and her husband was murdered. It's a very unfortunate situation. Anyway, some time had gone by, maybe a year had gone by. And she was very young. She had like a 2-year-old daughter. And we all went into Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada, of course, yes. So the boy started talking. The lady, she was just sitting. And he said, my sister, she was married, of course, now her husband's died, and she has a daughter. You could see it was leading up to, she should get married because she needs protection. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, you are not protected? Then he looked at his sister. You're not protected? Then he looked at me. He says, you're not protected? I realized more and more Prabhupada saw things from a very different platform. He saw things from spiritual platform, completely transcendental platform. And he was always just trying to just give it to us. He was saying, Krishna's there. He's your protector. He's taking care. He looked at her. The marriage wasn't a good one. He said, what makes you think the next one will be any better? Prabhupada started, he didn't start at the bottom and work his way up. He started at the top. And then when he saw you couldn't do it, then he would work his way down what you can do. He didn't start with that. Yes, yes, you're young, you need a husband. No, just the opposite. He said the difficulty is, he said, women are not chaste. He said, and the men, he said, are irresponsible. Then he looked at her again. He said, best thing you can do, you make Krishna your husband. Young girl, little baby. But Prabhupada didn't compromise. I read, this is there, I want to say it exactly because it came up. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, I can't find it. Anyway, it was just a very short sentence that Prabhupada said in a class in 1975, where he's talking about change. He said, if you think you can make any alterations, any adjustments, you're finished. If one doesn't follow in parampara, we call this seat, talking from the Vyasa-san. You have only one business is to repeat. How many times did Prabhupada say, just repeat what I have said in your own words? He never said, just build on what I have given. He said, repeat what I have said. In that way. Later on, I guess it was a year went by, she put white on. And Prabhupada came back to Los Angeles. So this was his next trip back. And we all know at the airport, LAX, Los Angeles Airport, walking along. And then you had to go down the escalator. So, of course, Prabhupada's always in the lead. The girl was smart. She knew to see Prabhupada in any situation is difficult, especially if you're in a female body. Look at the morning walks. Saw some morning walk there. 25, half of them dandas, all saffron, surrounding Prabhupada. That started like 1971. You know, went from to just Prabhupada's men. He wanted to train them. He wanted them to have lots of association with him. Because you hear things, you see things that you don't hear from normal person. No ambition, Prabhupada said. We just want to serve Krishna. We're not even looking for a cookie at the end of class today, right? You get one cookie, two cookies sometimes if you're lucky. Even we don't get a cookie. No, we just want to do our service.
We know you want the cookie.
I actually want better than a cookie. I think it's worth more than a cookie. Burfi, okay. We've established Burfi. Yes. So she knew she'll be down at the bottom of the escalator, instead of being with the crowd, walking down the hallway. And then you all have to squeeze, just like the toll lanes on the Jamuna Expressway, go from so many, and you have to squeeze into. So all these devotees have to squeeze in behind Prabhupada. And they're literally, Prabhupada always transcendental. I mean, he could have just been laughing hysterically, watching how we conducted ourselves around him, throwing ourselves all over, pushing in, trying to get right behind him, right next to him. So he's coming down the elevator. And as he's coming down the escalator, thank you. Down at the bottom of the escalator, there she is. And her daughter now, 3 years old, and the daughter has a garland for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada comes down, and then an escalator. He gets to the bottom, and the little girl's there. So Prabhupada stops. She can put the garland on. Of course, the escalator doesn't stop, even though Prabhupada, the whole world didn't stop when Prabhupada, the escalator's still moving, and now you have dozens of men on the escalator with nowhere to go. And they're literally flying off the sides. They're pushing back. And Prabhupada just very happy. Whatever chaos is behind them, that's okay. I'm getting a garland from this nice little girl. He receives the garland. I wanted to read one letter because we're talking about gopis so much. Is this it? That's another one. I saw so many things. This was a letter. At the same time, this was just when I was with Prabhupada in New Dwarka, Los Angeles. So this was May 30th, 1972. Srila Prabhupada got a letter from my god sister. She was married. Her husband was GBC in Germany. At this time, he was temple president there in Germany. I was going to say he was ambitious, but I'm not going to say. He was a very good manager. He liked to manage, and he was very expert. But he was also thinking of sannyas. At that time, everybody, any male was thinking of sannyas. You know, there was something you wanted to do.
It's still happening.
Still going on, yes. Yes. And Prabhupada always would say, he wrote one letter, said, you're more than sannyasi, because you're grahasta. You have a beautiful wife, and you're celibate. You're more than a sannyasi. But that doesn't go with the white and everything. Sannyasi, he wanted sannyasi. Anyway, Prabhupada said no. And he never did while he was here give him sannyasi. So she writes a letter to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada responds, I acknowledge receipt of your letter May 30th and have noted the contents. I don't know who has given you this idea of shaving your head and wearing white garments. In India, only the widows are allowed to shave head. I have never suggested your husband to take sannyas, but we can discuss it further when we shall meet again in London Rathiatra. Then he says to her, you remain the beautiful maid servant of Krishna. That is your business. And you should dress yourself always very nicely so that Krishna, by seeing you, will be pleased. Don't try to be ugly before Krishna. Krishna does not like ugly gopis. There are no ugly gopis. If Krishna doesn't like them, then they're automatically, they don't exist. All gopis are beautiful. Everyone, we're beautiful. We all belong to Krishna's family. This is what Prabhupada says. We are transcendental artists, musicians, writers. So everything should be beautiful for Krishna. And of course, the point he's making, for Krishna. Everything is for Krishna. So even we come before the Lord, we're dressing nicely. Clean, we always know, spotlessly clean, eh? Cleanliness next to godliness. But for Krishna, this was Prabhupada's understanding with everything is for Krishna. Nothing for me. Because if I satisfy Krishna, I'm automatically satisfied. And Prabhupada goes on. After all, we are members of Krishna's family. Just like Krishna had 16,000 wives. And each wife has thousands of servants and maidservants. And all of them are very beautiful for serving Krishna and his queens. So the servants of the gopis and the queens cannot be ugly. They are as beautiful as the queens. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no need of serving anything because everything is already clean and beautiful. It is so clean that just like a mirror, when the maidservants would sweep the floor, they could see the reflections of their bodies. So remain always compact in Vaikuntha Jagya. What a term, Vaikuntha Jagya. Simply by thinking of the glories of the Lord, don't try to do anything artificially. We have experience over time. Artificial renunciation is not a good thing. Doesn't work. Prabhupada was always say to us, you find your place where you can serve Krishna nicely and peacefully. Not always in anxiety, stressed out. No, we all have, Prabhupada said, everyone has a talent, something special. He would say, devotee can do anything. But one thing, very expert. Of course, some devotees like Srila Prabhupada was expert at everything. Let me see, does this go on? Don't try to do anything artificially. What is that? Sahajya. Prabhupada says, that's sahajya. which means a class of men that take everything very cheap. You want to perform sacrifice, so continuously read our Vedic scriptures and perform the Vaikuntha Jagya. Hope this meets you and your husband in good health. Also today, today Prabhupada gave a lecture on this day. For those of you that haven't been, don't know yet, and in India it's also becoming now, this is their next big thing, making all these holidays. Today's Valentine's Day. In the West, big thing. They spend millions and millions dollars on flowers and chocolates and all to give to their lover. Of course, again, something has to be there in return, huh? In America, what would they say? Candy is dandy.
Don't look at me.
Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. So no one's ever thinking. Everyone's always thinking how to please myself, my senses, huh? But the devotee only satisfied pleasing Krishna's senses. So Prabhupada gave a Sri Isupanishad lecture on February 14th. And at the end of the lecture, he said, any religion, it doesn't matter whether you're Hindu, Muslim, Christian, if you're developing love of God, then you're perfect in your religion. And what kind of love? Ahuituki, without any cause. Oh Lord, I love you, God, because you simply supply me so many nice things. You're our order supplier. No, not that sort of love. Without any exchange. This is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever you do, aslisya va padaratam pinastomam, either you trample me under your feet or you embrace me, what you like. So who has this? This is our aim. This is the position. This is pure love of Krishna. You make me brokenhearted by my not seeing you. That doesn't matter. Still, you're my worshipable Lord. That is love. That sort of love Krishna wants. That sort of love. Therefore, he was so much fond of the gopis. In the gopis' love, there was no question of business propaganda. Give me this, then I love you. No, that is pure love. If you want to love God, there is nothing throughout the whole world which can check you. Simply, you have to develop your eagerness. Krishna, I want you. That's all. Then there's no question of checking. In any condition, you'll increase your love. If you can develop your love for God or Krishna without being checked, without any cause, then you will feel fully satisfied. So this was the love of the gopis. I remember that same time. I was just in the temple for a few months. And Prabhupada was saying, again in the garden, where he was listening to Krishna book. This is devotee. I think every day I was with Prabhupada, I saw him reading his books. Who were we? Prabhupada was reading his books. Reading him, as he said, words are from Krishna. He says, when I read it, I can't even believe it myself. Such amazing things here. But he did read. And he read it fully satisfied. I've told so many times the story when Prabhupada called me into his room over the course of 2 years, three separate occasions in 2 years, in the afternoon, which was his reading time. That was his reading time, bhajan time, play harmonium, chanting. He took that time for himself. And the first time he called me in, always reading a book, sitting behind his desk with his reading glasses on. And the first book was Bhagavad Gita. And he looked at me. He's in ecstasy. Just like when I read Krishna book to him in the garden. Prabhupada went into laughing hysterics when Krishna killed the demon. We're sitting there listening to a story. But Prabhupada was very, very different. He was absorbed. I can't say I don't know what he saw, what he heard, how he... But I could see that he was completely 100% absorbed in hearing these pastimes about Krishna. And when Krishna killed that demon, he laughed and laughed and laughed, and body shaking, everything shaking, and tears coming. 2 days in a row, I read story, and each time he started laughing and laughing. That was full enjoyment, full pleasure Srila Prabhupada had. So now this is just Prabhupada as he's traveling around the world. His books are always there in his room. No other books, his BTG magazine, gradually his Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you'd see the Srimad Bhagavatam series. Every month, another book. And he called me in and I sat down and he just looked at me and said, "This book is so nice. If you just read this one book, you can become Krishna conscious." It was just me sitting there on the other side of the desk. He said, "You don't have to read so many books." I don't think he ever saw me reading a book. He was trying to get me to read just one book. He said, "It's all you need. Read this book and you can be Krishna conscious." He said, "Everything is there." Then he put his head back down. Started reading. So I offered obeisances and left. Almost a year goes by. He rings his bell. Another Prabhupada room. Another Vaikuntha room somewhere in the world. He's reading Nectar of Devotion. He calls me in the room. I offer obeisances. He says the exact same thing. "Just read this one book," he said. "You don't have to read so many books. Hundreds of books. This one book," he said, "is so wonderful." This is the devotee reading, chanting, serving. This is the feelings. These were Prabhupada's emotions. He was, only thing I can think, he was in so much ecstasy that he even had to ring his bell and let his servant know he was feeling so much ecstasy. He just wanted to share it. He said the same thing, and I never say a word. I'm just looking at him. "Just this book," he said, "you read it. You can become Krishna conscious." Then again, he took the book. He doesn't say, "Okay, I'm finished with you. You can go." No, he just goes on to the next thing. You know what to do. This is devotee. So again, I offer obeisances, and I leave the room. Then it was Juhu. We all know where Juhu is. It's just south of Mumbai. Little fishing village it was. Prabhupada turned it into his office. His Krishna conscious office. So he's there and he rings the bell. Ring the bell, you go in the room. I offer obeisances and he's reading Krishna book. That was my very first service to him, was reading Krishna book. And Prabhupada's reading Krishna book. This is 4 years later. Not that it got old. No, it's fresh. It's fresh and new, and Prabhupada's reading it. And he calls me in. I offer obeisances. What did he say? "If you just read this one book, you can become Krishna conscious." Kept saying it. Every time he said this, "You don't have to read," he said, "hundreds of books." He said, "This book is so nice. It's so sweet. Everything is here. Just read this one book." And he's looking at me, and I never say anything. I don't know, maybe I should have said something. Sometimes I think so many things I should have said, so many questions I should have asked. I never did. But he looking and he kept looking at me. He didn't put his head down. So I'm sitting. He looked at this sorry. He said, "You don't even have to read the whole book. Just one chapter," he said. "Read one chapter from this book and you can become Krishna conscious." And he kept looking directly at me. Never stop looking. You never got used to that either when Prabhupada looked at you. Because you're always wondering, what is he seeing? Hope he's not reading my mind. He knew everything. Prabhupada knew everything. He could. He did. So many occasions he would show that, how he read your mind. But he kept looking at me. "You don't even have to read the whole chapter," he said, "just one page." Prabhupada was very demonstrative. He didn't just talk, he also used his hands. So he's going up and down the page, "Just one page from this book, this Krishna book." He said, "It's so nice. You read this one page, you can be Krishna conscious." He's still looking. I'm sitting there. I'm a little uneasy. "You don't even have to read the whole page. Just one line," Prabhupada went across the page. "Just one line from this book, if you read from this Krishna book. One line," he said, "you can be Krishna conscious." And he's still looking at me. "Don't even have to read the whole line. One word," Prabhupada said, "one word. If you read one word from this book, you can become Krishna conscious." He said, "Because Krishna is in every word." This is what Prabhupada saw. Everywhere, Krishna. This is devotee. "Just one word," he said. And then finally he put his head down and started reading. But so much, everything Prabhupada did for us, but his books, as he said, he's there in his books. He's always with us in his books. We have to take advantage. And most of you, some of you may know, we have such a good example here, temple president. He goes home, he reads every morning. He posts it. He's read every afternoon. He reads. I go over sometimes to see him. I hope I'll get some Mahaprasadam or something. I know he gets lots of Mahaprasadam. But he makes me sit there and read with him. This is a devotee. This is our business. Whatever else you do, we have to take time to have this direct association with Srila Prabhupada, with Krishna. Prabhupada said, "You see the beauty of Krishna and all other things, you'll forget all this materialistic beauty." This is Krishna consciousness. Here in Vrindavan is a whole other level. I have so many God brothers will say, Vrindavan's everywhere. Wherever there's chanting, it's Vrindavan. Right? Lakshminath, right?
I don't say that.
There's nowhere like Vrindavan. That's right. He doesn't say that. And he's here in Vrindavan. Because, yes, we have accepted the Chincha Beta Beta philosophy. It's one and different. Vrindavan is a very special place. And we have to be very careful here to be able to accept Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna's mercy. So it's almost time. Thank you. If there are any questions or comments, anyone has?
You were saying at the beginning how the culture and how Prabhupada was saying his mother was winning across the road. So I was traveling with my wife Sarda several years ago. We were in Trivandrum. And we were going to take a train to go to Tirupati. So I just hopped on the train, right? And it's just all women. And I'm kind of embarrassed, right? And they're kind of chuckling and laughing, talking at each other, like, what's this guy doing? Right? He doesn't know the culture here.
Yeah.
So I ended up, my wife sat with them, but I ended up sitting in the steps because the train had already started. I couldn't go anywhere. Right? So anyway, but there's still culture.
Yes,
it's beautiful to see.
And we can see that the result of that culture is still here. We see every day.
When Krishna was leaving Hastinapur, it said that the ladies went up to the top of the palace just because, even though 5,000 years ago there was this culture of separation, not like some people propagate that due to the Muslim subjugation, that they introduced this kind of new idea. But it was existing in the Vedic culture even 5,000 years ago.
Any question up there?
Anyone?
Yeah, come run forward.
Come up this way. Yeah, help us.
Meet you halfway.
I was really touched by that. Example you gave of Prabhupada, how he said no ambition, just a desire to serve Krishna. So about the spiritual part of the desiring, how do we integrate that? Are we not aiming to see Krishna, to love him?
It was just within 24 hours of making that statement, made the other statement I've said so many times, that we're proud to be servants of Krishna. He said, that's our pride. So all these things are there, naturally. So many qualities are there. And I've also gone into Veda base and looked up the word ambition. So a devotee also does have ambition, but it's a different kind. Just like everything, it's transcendental. Like he says, devotee, in the spiritual world, when they see someone doing better, they're very happy for them. Just like in book distribution. You may distribute 100 books. Somebody does 500. It can give you some drive to try to do better. So that's a good thing. Prabhupada said that's a good thing. But at the same time, we're not envious of the person who does nicely for Krishna. Sometimes we are. Yes, that's a fact.
I don't think somebody's doing good and you're having a hard time, to get a little jealous.
But that's transcendental jealousy. And then you go up to him and say, what are you doing, right? Anything else? Prabhu?
You covered the section of love. I always like to help and give love a lot. But at the same time, I have seen people having a different opinion, and also they are feeling a bit of inferiority as well. Is there a way where we should propagate love in a proper way, or should we have a balance or a threshold to proceed with that?
Actually, there was another thing I copied. Prabhupada speaks about, this is from Krishna book, chapter 32, which we'll be coming up to eventually. So Prabhupada says, Svartha, self-interested. These are the various kinds of love. Three types of love, Prabhupada says. Svartha or self-interested. These type of lovers are like merchants. Their love is conditional, and they reciprocate in loving dealings only as long as personal benefit is involved. Bhajanti, number two, are sincerely devoted. These types of lovers are like ideal parents. Their love is unconditional, and they reciprocate in loving dealings, whether or not personal benefit is involved. Abhajata, or devoid of devotion. These types do not reciprocate in loving dealings because they are A, Atmarama, spiritually self-satisfied, Apta Kamaha, already satisfied in loving dealings, Akritagya, ungrateful. Lord Krishna assures the gopis that the reason he sometimes does not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings even when they worship him, is to intensify their loving devotion for him. So arriving at this transcendental platform of love, of course, we know it's a process. And Prabhupada stresses the most simple, basic things. As I say, he calls it the routine. Routine means it just goes on continually, every day, your routine. And we know our routine, chanting 16 rounds, following regulative principles, engaging in some service, like that, taking prasadam. So on the way, just like Prabhu said, sometimes we even get jealous, we see someone distributing, right? Even a transcendental activity, we become impatient. Actually, we become impatient. Our desire, all of us, we want to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said, what is the question? I read that. It's also somewhere in there, but I won't bring it up. But he said, we love everyone. He said, if I just want to develop my love of Krishna, I can go just like Prabhupada lived in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar. He said, and be Krishna conscious. He said, but the fact that a preacher, he travels all over the world at an advanced age to give love to others, he says, that is love. That's real love. We can say we're lovers, but what are we doing? If you love Krishna so much, you want everyone to have that, what you have. See, that's the transcendental platform. Not that you're trying to keep it for yourself. So everything brings us in that direction. That's good. But he made that point. He said, I love everyone. Prabhupada said that specifically. Devotees, Prabhupada, everyone loves you. He says, I love everyone. So that's a devotee. You can't pick and choose. No, everyone belongs to Krishna. Everyone is servant of Krishna. Everyone is part of that family Prabhupada talked about in that letter. Huh? That's the Vaikuntha Jagya. To learn how to love everyone by loving Krishna. And the more we understand Krishna, the more we can love everyone else. Okay, so I think we're finished. One more question? Okay. Hare Krishna, Jai.
About the same conviction that a book or a chapter or a page, a sentence or a word can make us Krishna conscious, I wanted to ask, what is that thing which stops us even after reading a book?
If we're following the process of doing everything, of course, if we're not following, then that in itself is the reason. If you're not chanting and not following the principles, not performing as Prabhupada gave. But if we are, then ultimately they always say it comes down to offenses while chanting. And we know there's numerous opportunities to be offensive, of course, including up to being inattentive. And I've said sometimes, I saw as personal servant, as soon as you become inattentive, trouble is there. Krishna consciousness, everything we do, it's about being attentive. Because we're serving Krishna. So everything we do, like I said, Prabhupada, everything he did, he was careful. I was on almost 1,000 morning walks with Prabhupada. I saw many devotees stumble, trip around. I never saw Prabhupada take a misstep. That's attentive. Everything, every detail. Never. I saw people run into him when he would stop. Many things. But Prabhupada was always focused, whatever he was doing. So you have to always be attentive. You have to know what the rules and regulations are. You have to know the process. And then you have to follow it. Always. And the more we do, then of course the more we can advance. All right, I think we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.